being associated with the club for more than half a century now, Mickey, who are the people who've really made an impression on you in terms of running the club, you know, the administrators of the club? Because Arnold Alcock was ruling the roost when you first...
Tell us about Arnold. He was a wonderful man, Dr. Alcock. He played... I think he had one cap for England. He played for Guy's Hospital. And he was a retired doctor. But he smoked. And he smoked... He told me one day he smoked these cigarettes called Richmond. And he told me, I said, "Well, you smoke them?" He said, "I had one game for Richmond." And because he had one game for Richmond, he decided to smoke these Richmond cigarettes. But he was a wonderful man. He really was. And we all looked up to him, you know. And they called him the three old gents, or the three grand old men of Gloucester Rugby Club. The second one being Arthur Hudson, who was a fantastic man. He played for England on the wing. He scored four tries in one game, I think, against France.
That's right.
And he was a lovely, lovely... He was a secretary when I first came. He was a wonderful man. And, of course, the other one, Tom Boyce, is the greatest man I've ever met. He's in every book you pick up.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic man.
Well, we never had the pleasure of meeting Tom Boyce.
Oh.
Tell us about him.
He was just an incredible man. His sight was very weak, but he would come on...
Well, he suffered an injury, didn't he, in the First World War?
But he would come on the away trips as well, and, you know, you had to keep an eye on him in case he wandered away or anything like that. But we used to all assemble in the old social club underneath here on a Sunday lunchtime and reflect on the game and have a chat, and Tom would always go to the cathedral for the service, but he'd always call him for a couple of hours before, and very often he'd catch me to give him a lift home. He lived just up in the other side of the roundabout in Chutsbury Road. Anyway, the one day he said, "I've got something for you," and he went to his garage, and there was a tea chest in there, and he picked out this green shirt. He said, "Here you are, you can have that." I said, "What is it?" He said, "It's an Irish shirt." He said, "It's one I swapped when I played against Ireland." So I looked at it, and it didn't have the shamrock on it. And I said, "That's not an Irish shirt." He said, "It is." I said, "Look, dear me," he said. He'd lent these shirts to some exhibition, and somebody had removed them. So he said, "Never mind, give it me back," and he put it in. Then he got out, and a black one, and threw it at me. And I looked at it like that. And it was an all-black shirt, lace up, half a collar on it type of thing, you know. And I trembled and I threw it back at him. I said, I can't take that from you. He said, "Oh yes, you can." He said, I want you to have that. So I said, "Can you remember me telling you on the bus the other day that the way I used to really thump him?" He said, "Was with that hard part of there." And I said, "Yeah, that was a good story you told me, Tom." He said, "Well, you don't want to feel that, do you?" I said, "I've given you the shirt, take it away." Well, I got my wife to wash it, and I took it back the following Sunday dinner time, and he went berserk. So I had that shirt under my bed for 20 years, and I mentioned it to Chalky White. I was in his car one day, and he said, "They've just opened a museum at Twickenham. Why don't you put it up there?" But it's in the museum, and it's got my name at the bottom to say that I donated it. But what I did do was tell the curator that I was loaning it. So Tom Boyce gave me this shirt, and there's an epic picture in the old books of Tom like that, Sir Wavell Wakefield is like that, Cove Smith is like that. They've all been up to something, and referee Freethby from Wales is sending off one of the Brownlee brothers. And I think, I might be wrong, but I think that he was wearing that number.
All right.
They'd have I think the number on there is like a 29 or something. They would have had a tour number. But when you write that down, I can't prove that, so that might not be fact, but all the rest is the shirt was given to me and this, that, and the other. Well, then when Tom Boyce died, a letter popped through my letterbox, and it was from a solicitor in St. John's Lane. Treasure is the name of the solicitor. And it said, Tom Boyce had left me in his will one share in Gloucester Rugby Football Club. But I had to pay £1, and it's the scruffiest certificate you've ever seen in your life. He also left Alan Brin one. He left Terry Tandy a couple. And he left Doug Wadley a couple. Well, Terry Tandy and Doug have gone now, so they're Terry's widow and Doug's daughter, I think, have got those. I think John Hudson, because of his family, grandfather down to Gordon, down to John, has got about a dozen, and there's just a few more floating around, but not enough to make a challenge to Tom or anything like that. I mean, Tom's got all the shares. We're just... But what it does do, and on the nice letter I got, was to say that because I have got rugby in my blood type of thing, I would always want to be knowing the interests of Gloucester Rugby Club or something like that. So I get the balance sheet every year, which I don't understand, but at least it doesn't give me a shout, it gives me a whisper. But they have a little AGM, it doesn't take long, and the balance sheet you get through the post. So that was an incredible honour, I thought, for Tom to leave me in his will one share, which was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I've got a great deal to thank Tom Boyce for.
Did he talk to you about his playing days?
Oh, the stories he used to tell were quite fantastic. Well, the one I can tell you about was that they had a fantastic character in the Irish team. Because they're all doctors, the Irish players, aren't they? Doctors or bloody publicans, aren't they? Or comedians. And this one was called Jamie Clinch. I think he was from Cork, and he said he was so sly, Tom said. He said you got to watch him at all times, he said. So I thought, right, I'm going to concentrate. Try and play well for England, but concentrate on this bloody Clinch. You know, he said he's a terrible man. So anyway, they kick off, and the fullback catches it and kicks it into touch. And they get to the first line out, and Tom thought, what's it? He said, I stood by him like that. He said, good afternoon, Vice. One of your shoelaces is undone. And Tom said, I looked down, he went. He said, I come about 5 yards out of the line out. He said, he was a real good player and a cracking man to be with after the game. He said, but he said, I fell for that one up line and sinker. But every book you read, he's prominent in that, isn't he? I'd love to see a bit of film of the... I had a book on one occasion called Great Rugby Tries. You got the Obolensky try and some of the great tries. And the chapter on Tom's try against Scotland is called The Gloucester Gladiator. And it shows about three men trying to stop him, you know, and he's still got the strength to go over. He was a wonderful man.
Yeah. Another administrator in your time in the club is Mervyn Hughes, Hughes.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about him?
For a man of the cloth, he was quite humorous, really, mind, because Mervyn married all of us. And if we were in a bad mood, or Mervyn would sort of reprimand us or something in a nice way, we would all say, now, I have to forgive you, Mervyn, for bloody marrying us, you know, because he'd accept the swear words of that nature, like, you know, and... He used to have a good laugh about it, Mervyn did, but he was a good bloke for a preacher, old Mervyn. When we had our first Sunday game out here, Mervyn said, I'm not going to obstruct it at all. He said, well, I won't be coming. But he was all right, Mervyn. I liked him, and I think he was quite a nasty piece of work on the field, they reckon, when he played for London Welsh, I think it was. But he ran this club in a good fashion. He was a nice man, Mervyn. I liked him.